welcome back to Pencils Down. On today's episode, I sit down with Silvio Pupo, who is Managing Director and CEO at Logos Capital, a global investment bank based in Miami. Silvio started his career in banking at Citigroup and has spent the better part of the last decade working on project finance and economic development initiatives in the U.S. and across the world. We sat down to discuss his journey into banking, how he differentiates Logos Capital from the competition, and how he sees the role of a global investment bank catalyzing social impact. So with that, let's get started. Silvio, it's so great to have you on the Pencils Down podcast. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Federico. How are you?
Doing okay, thanks. You know, we've known each other for a few years now, and we've overlapped a bit at the conference circuit. I'm sure you remember what conferences used to be like when we used to be able to go to those. I don't know a whole lot about your story, though. How did you make your way into the investment banking industry?
So it was one of these one thing led to another. I had a separate company that would supply heavy machinery from China to clients in South America. And I had an approach where nobody really wanted to buy the equipment. So we started offering an opportunity to finance these energy and mining projects by creating bonds, structuring the bonds, and then going to place these bonds that would collateralize their projects as assets and allow us to raise the necessary project finance. So that on one side was really an impetus, right? I remember, you know, one guy contacted me out of the blue on LinkedIn asking, you know, that if I could help him get in touch because he was representing an investment firm that would specialize in this and our kind of client base seemed to be a perfect fit for what he wanted to accomplish. So Logos Capital is really focused on commercialization of university technology, universities like MIT, Harvard, UF, et cetera, that we would license their tech, go out and, you know, create public-private partnerships in a way that allow us to create these pilot projects in rolling out these impact sort of sustainable circular economy business models with this technology. And that eventually evolved into being the best vehicle to separate the supply business from the financing business. So Logos Capital evolved of just commercializing and developing impactful technology to being the financing arm for Transact Energy and Mining to be able to sell their products to the clients. So that project finance, partnering with this investment firm out of New York that was underwriting the bonds, turned into then trade finance, then private equity, then venture capital, by being the only guy in the room here when I moved back to Miami in the startup community that was a token finance guy. A lot of the startups would end up coming up to me and telling me about what they were working on. So I'd give them some advice. And in the way, just started making some introductions. So I decided, my lawyer suggested, hey, it might be time for you to evolve and get a broker-dealer and get your licenses, et cetera, because, you know, you're going into raising capital now for projects onshore as well as traditionally we were doing more offshore type opportunities. So yeah, one thing led to another, and it was really a perfect culmination of events that pushed us into providing financing both to our clients as well as to our community as the impetus to launching an impact and impact-focused investment bank.
Tell me a little bit about how you saw this industry. So you're a brand new investment banker onto the scene. You're looking to affiliate yourself with a BD. What was the industry that you encountered when you went out and started doing your research and connecting with BDs?
Well, there were only a handful of firms that would cater to entrepreneurial dealmakers. And within those, there really wasn't any that understood international markets very well or felt comfortable with like somebody that operated outside of the US. It was like this mysterious thing, like, oh my goodness, like you do deals in Africa, or you do deals in Latin America, you do deals in Asia. No one knew how to kind of deal with that. And so my lawyer then introduces me to a beautiful young lady, incredibly brilliant and smart and charismatic, called Sonali. And Sonali and I hit it off. I was like, Sonali, what's up? What are you doing? And she was representing a BD and she was looking for deals. And so I said, oh, well, you've spoken to the right person. I have like 100 deals that I can show you. But, you know, and I really don't care to do any of them either because I'm looking for companies to buy, not deals to broker. And so that's really where we got more into investment banking, where Sonali started to integrate together and it became a real partner with us in the deal making space. And so now I had someone that could tackle capital raising on the deal side so that I could help the community that had a real gap in terms of access to resources and access to financing and somebody that can usher them along the way. And so that was, you know, it was kind of serendipitous. That was actually one of the last times that I spent time with Carlos Dupi, my lawyer, and following his suggestion. And when I finally meet this broker dealer, I think a year later, after I come back from Latin America, I give him a call and I find out that Carlos has passed away. And my call was to tell him thanks, you know, for his recommendation. I was giving him, you know, give him a call to let him know that I had his words in my mind and I wanted to thank him for that. And I was acting on it. Now that capability allowed us to do deals in the US. And we got involved in sort of this tokenization in the middle of all this blockchain stuff that was happening. And even less people were care to do that or care to touch the plant. So I would say it was a difficult time, Federico, to answer your question, to find a very good fit that would allow the autonomy and the kind of deals that we do want to actively help and be engaged with.
Yeah. And so on that, you mentioned finding opportunities. Obviously, Logos Capital has carved out really important niche around sustainable project development, project finance, and fundraising for these types of initiatives. How does Logos Capital source new opportunities?
Well, it's really all word of mouth, right? I mean, you know, what we've done over time, as my philosophy studies have kicked in, is to realize that we have to take our head out of the water and look at the big picture, right? And so that means that you have to understand the financial mechanism in general. Who are the allocators? Who are the endowments? Where do the pension funds put their money? How and why do they put their money? And so we end up a couple of years into the investment banking arena with our broker dealer, end up evolving from just working with startups, middle market companies that needed some help, some groups, to then helping fund managers, right? And so this was for me, I think, a really exciting opportunity, because I thought to myself, we need to go up the stream, up the river, right? And going further up the river means going closer into LP territory, allocators, fund of funds, et cetera, where we can start to play and make a real difference with who the fund managers making the decisions actually are, right? Like everyone's starting talking about, let's talk about today, Blackout Tuesday, right? Race is a very sensitive issue and inclusion is very important, especially to me. Because all we really want to do is focus on that financial inclusion. And in that process, like we've been able to connect with other groups like the Hispanic Heritage Foundation, which are an incredibly valuable resource. So different associations that only cater to and specifically to minority business enterprises or minority fund managers. And now we're able to empower fund managers to be the ones allocating into their community. And so when you think about a time and energy and impact perspective, being able to help these fund managers or entrepreneurs grow up to be fund managers has a multiplier effect in the amount of impact that we can have within many communities versus the vis-a-vis the amount of effort to be put into raising capital. And so that's been a really great evolution. And in that process, we have a global network of fund-of-funds, allocators, endowments, family offices, and every, you know, all these, some of them even sovereign wealth funds, which we actively engage with in conversations with, and even central banks, right? So try to encourage people to like unlock more capital. Jamaica, for example, recently unlocked an allocation for alternative investments. So now they can start investing in venture capital funds, for example, right? And I think that niche of working entirely, you know, across different areas of finance, everything from capital raising to project finance to project development to trade finance to bonds to equity to venture to crowdfunding to different models and joint ventures. That multidisciplinary approach to thinking and approaching problems for a specific company is very rare, right? Sometimes people come to us with an idea and we give them two or three and it completely changes their business model in a way that makes it a much more palatable and bankable opportunity. And we give that away for free because we want to see people be successful. And I would say that in turn, after 8 years of being that way, we don't have to source business. You know, a lot of business comes to us and is referred to us because we hold true to these values and we really do want to contribute value to everybody else that's trying to do good in the world and has through the finance to do so.
Silvio, it's so interesting what you're saying. And I wonder if we might touch upon something that you briefly mentioned around the potential multiplier effect in terms of going upstream with respect to sources of capital and the potential impact that strategy may have on more marginalized communities with respect to inclusion. Obviously, we're talking during a somewhat heated period in our nation with respect to some of the recent protests that have been happening. And I wonder if you might just reflect on, are there any examples that you can point to or stories that you can share with respect to how that strategy has paid off and impacted folks in some of these communities?
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. Where do I start? I'll start with something that I was reflecting on today and that I'd like to share with the rest of the world today. And that is really that rolling up our sleeves and helping people build their businesses and like plugging people in and putting them on the spotlight and helping them have, be on the stage. And it's such a virtuous effect, right? That then those people go back to the community and with this positiveness that they've received and the support that they've received, and they're able to give it back to their community. And one of the people that helped us accomplish some of this started a venture partner position last year, where we were work with more technologists, right? Especially now is really geeking out in the asset digitization and blockchain space the last couple of years. We're starting to be like more, a bit more venture builders, right? In terms of where we see we can scale businesses. And so one such solution was to help one women minority owned for company here in South Florida that was focused on building a circular economy. So our ethos is basically sort of threefold. It's like, you know, can we, A, is there a social benefit and or is it inclusive in terms of the team and the firm, you know, and who we're working with? B, does it have a good impact in the environment? And C, is it scalable, right? And so this sort of met all three criteria. We start working together. We worked together for a year. We're trying to go and like basically and rebuild marketplaces, build systems, solutions, plug them into this network, a global network of investors and different conferences that they should be going to. And so now that person goes out and our venture partner, I'm glad to say, working with us for a year and understanding, you know, what we were doing with our own fintech, et cetera, which you've met actually, is Joshua, right? Joshua. And Joshua's now been inspired of this in this process. And he's like, man, I want to get into impact investing and I want to launch an impact fund that caters to the Black tech community, right? And so here we have a fund manager already registered with the SEC, already with a couple of heavy hitter partners that are really passionate about what they're doing. And they have the talent and they have the network to see their friends and their communities, the people that they know are doing a good job. And they think that could be done. So now all the way in San Francisco somewhere, right? You have a group of fund managers that are actively looking for other businesses to invest in and be able to grow because of the influence that we had here all the way in Miami, talking about impact investing and what we're passionate about and what we're doing. Now there's a roadmap, and that's what we want to do, right? People that come and work with us, we want them to start their own company. We want them to start their own fund. We want them to do what they want to do. And this is, we understand that we want to equip as many people as we can with the tools and resources to get there. So that's a perfect example of how we come full circle. Amazing. Our internship program, which we're launching right now with for the summer, basically creates a path from intern to partner. And it makes it very clear for people on how to get there. But it says you can always be a partner, but that doesn't mean that you only have to be a partner. If you can go and you can do something that you're called to do, your dharma, your purpose, that you're enlightened, we're going to help and we're going to open doors for you to do exactly that. And that's where the multiplier effect happens. Now Josh and his team are going to be hopefully investing in hundreds of other Black founders in their communities and would be able to do so without my, you know, limited time in the day, right? So that's the kind of multiplier effect that we'd really like to be able to continue espousing.
Silvio, it's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it. You know, one thing that I was reflecting on as you were speaking is the fact that, you know, you mentioned being in business with Logos Capital for 8 or 9 years. And I realized that what that means is that you effectively started Logos Capital when you were still in college. I think it's fair to say that you'd be considered a millennial banker. What do you think differentiates this new generation of boutique bankers from prior generations?
Well, the genesis of my perspective in finance was reframing it and framed within the context of, how do I say this, of Occupy Wall Street, right? This idea of like the big banks are like crushing the 99%. And I've experienced it and I lived it myself with my friends and my family and seen that it's real, right? And even with groups and banks that I've worked with, not even the big 99%, but even smaller ones that try to take advantage of people just because, and it's disgusting. And I believe that the difference is that we are, and I am who you'll meet, and my values, I won't change, and that integrity, I won't change. And so you can ask anybody that we've worked with, you know, we're not perfect, but we're going to be there and we're going to be loyal and we're going to be hardworking. We're going to be truthful and we're going to stand for integrity and stand for what's right. You know, and we're not going to, and we're going to walk away from corruption. We're going to denounce corruption if we see it, right? And sort of all the failures that I had doing public private partnerships in the beginning, licensing these technologies and going to emerging markets was because all the government officials wanted handouts, or they wanted me to hire their kids or their nephews or their whatever it was. And I was just like, dude, that's disgusting. I'm like, that's not okay. First of all, they're FATCA, the set of laws that's against this. And second of all, it's just like, why would you do this? Why are you trying to purposely destroy wealth that's meant to, like, we're going to give this away to the local community as scholarships or grants or building a school or whatever it is. Like, all these models that we design are meant to give back to the community. If somebody's trying to put their hand in the cookie jar, they're stealing from everybody, right? And so that, these values, right, like, Wall Street doesn't share them, you know? Wall Street's going to say, hey, look, give me your retainer. We're going to try what we can, and if we can't, too bad, bye. If you're engaged with us and 6 months go by and your company's in trouble, I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm going to continue helping you and pushing you and turning, you know, putting you on to what needs to be next. We're going to stay by your side over the long haul. And I think that differentiates us, because usually people that start to work with us, they already know who we are before they meet us. And so I think that that's a differentiator. It's a real authentic relationship with true integrity, and we will fight for a better world. I think that that will resonate with the millennials. And, you know, why are you going to be giving your money to, and I turned a job offer down from Goldman Sachs to start Logos Capital out of college, to your point. So yeah, I would say that that was idealistic and foolish, but you know what? I would not change it, because there was not a firm that had the values that we have when I was looking to work at a bank. So I started my own. That really is what sets us apart.
So interesting. Do you think that that's starting to change? I mean, you talk about Logos Capital kind of carving out its differentiation in the greater Miami area as being boutique bank focused on impact investing. Do you see more and more boutiques entering the impact investing space?
Absolutely. And some of them do a pretty good job, but I'd say that they're still like kind of one trick ponies. I think that everybody should be in impact. I have like the Elon Musk mentality of open sourcing what works. Like, if this works for us and we're doing something right, I want others to replicate it in other places. It's not like, I'm not trying to hide the secret sauce. I want to open source this because we need to scale this everywhere. Everybody needs to be involved in impact investing with their money somehow, whether it's just the mailman, you know, with his RIA, or whether it's a venture capitalist or a private equity fund, or somebody that's sitting on the board of trustees at the Knight Foundation or local university or what have you. It's really everybody's responsibility. And 8 years ago, people thought we were crazy, maybe because we are. But now, right, that we've been around for 8 years and people are, and this is becoming a hot buzzword, we're called around, right? Because we've been doing it for such a long time. So it's like family offices. Like, I, you know, a couple of my friends that run family offices, like, there was not a word for family offices when we were doing business together. Like, yeah, it's just like some dude's money. You know, like, yeah, we're just managing some dude's money. He has an entire staff that just manages his investments, right? And we didn't, like, there was not a word for this. So triple bottom line investing has evolved, right? And I think that we're still not where we need to be. I would say that we've created more differentiators for ourselves, like being in the asset digitization space, being able to do different types of financial transactions, being able to grow people's businesses with them, that add differentiators. But I think I would like for impact focus to not be our only differentiator. In fact, I would like for it not to be our differentiator if it means that everybody is doing that.
Silvio, I'm going to put you in a time machine, and I'm going to take you back to April of 2011 when you were getting Logos Capital off the ground. If you could give your younger self a couple of pieces of advice, what would that advice be?
What would it be? It's a good question. There will be trials and tribulations, and I would tell myself that I already know what I'm going to tell myself anyway, but that I should not let anything or anyone stand in the way of what I think the mission needs to be. And that would definitely be one very important piece of advice is, you know, stay strong. And so far, I think that I've held true to that. The other piece of advice that I would give is be careful with people that will waste your time. Be upfront about what there is or what there isn't. Let people know, like, very as off the bat as seems culturally appropriate, what you think you can do and what you think you can't do for them. And let people decide. And if people don't value your worth, walk away. Sometimes it's better, I think, to just maybe not be busy, not be working on somebody else's deal or somebody else's dream that doesn't care about you and doesn't value your work. than to be like working very hard for that person, when sometimes you could just be taking that time to just be reading a book or laying by the beach. And that time would actually be a better investment than working for people that don't appreciate who you are, what you do, or what you're about, or the value that you're trying to bring to that entrepreneur or that fund manager. And very oftentimes people are like, oh, you're just, you know, especially in culturally, you know, this idea of brokers is like almost like a faux pas, right? But they're really the deal makers. I mean, without deal makers, nothing really happens, right? So the role of the deal maker is incredibly important. And people that don't appreciate it, they can just go look somewhere else, I think. Because in the end, if you know the value of your worth, you really don't need to prove it to anybody except those people that are going to give you a real shot at doing so. And when they do give you a shot, don't ever, ever, ever quit. Keep going as much as you can and give the best of your work.
I would imagine that there are a number of students and folks out there that are considering launching a career in investment banking or in setting up their own boutiques. Are there any books that you've read over the years that you'd recommend that they check out?
Yeah, I would say that there's nothing that's really like investment banking centric, right? There's a lot of big books on private equity as a whole. But I think that in today's day and age, my business philosophy comes down to a couple of pretty simple books. One of them is The 4-Hour Workweek, which I think you and I maybe have talked about, right? And this 4-Hour Workweek, I think, is like kind of, you know, the idea of like why finalists is a big deal, right? It's like you want to be able to live your life freely and be focused on doing what brings the most value all the time, as opposed to busy work, just like doctors are, you know, sitting around doing paperwork half the time as opposed to curing people. So yeah, that would be one. 4-Hour Workweek. The other would be Ray Dalio's Book of Principles. And Ray Dalio's Book of Principles is quite an interesting one. Ray Dalio has a very unique culture in his firm, one of radical transparency and meritocracy. And that very much is in line with, I think, what's needed. So 4-Hour Workweek, Ray Dalio's Book of Principles, in terms of come up with systems, right? These systems with the feedback loop. And what would be another one? There's several books out on impact investing. I don't know if I have a favorite out in the market. But I would say that those two would be the integral ones. And then after that, negotiation, right? I mean, deal making at the end of the day is about negotiation. From that perspective, I would advise Getting to Yes. Getting to Yes is a good one. If they want to be efficient and not be bogged down, especially if they're coming out of like a big law firm, like a bulge bracket bank, some of the systems and mentality of bulge bracket banks just don't work for a nimbler organization and a smaller organization. And so you can actually lose your edge by trying to like institutionalize, you know, within these old paradigms. So you have to be thinking about what's next, right? Where's the puck going now? Where has the puck been, as the famous Greg C would coach. So I would say, yeah, those would be my...
It's an amazing list. And I was just reflecting that one of the very first books I read when I was getting ready to leave my corporate law job to launch Finalis was The 4-Hour Workweek. And for me, that book really represented a kind of paradigm shift where I had been kind of working in this mindset of kind of the traditional corporate construct, right? Of basically clocking in and clocking out. And I never really thought of the opportunity for entrepreneurship to really be a source through which you can really leverage yourself to create value in different ways that kind of challenge the old notion of the corporation. And that Tim Ferriss book in particular, I think, really helped to reframe the dynamic and got me really excited about entrepreneurship. So I think that I completely agree with you on that. Just to quickly wrap up, Silvio, obviously we've been working together for a few weeks now, and you and Logos Capital have the distinction of being one of Finalis's early customers. Tell us a little bit about your experience working with Finalis thus far.
So far, so good. It's been a smooth process from start to finish. Very easy to say yes, very appealing value proposition, very supportive team, and very smooth onboarding to just be able to switch licenses and get going on almost what would be a kind of turnkey system, I would say, is the direction that you're going in. So I think it's a really exciting opportunity to be working with you at this stage of the process, because there's a lot to be done. And for us, it's really just been a godsend on how easy and supportive the team is in being able to work together.
That's music to my ears, Silvio. thank you so much for that. And really looking forward to continuing the conversation over the coming months ahead and to seeing your growth, because that's really why we're here, which is to support your growth.
Well, Federico, I am sure you'll see it. And I look forward to being able to grow together. It's an honor and a privilege. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what's ahead for both of us.
Thank you so much, Silvio. Talk to you soon. That's it for today. Special thanks to Silvio and Logos Capital. You can rate and review Pencils Down on Apple Podcasts. Got a question for us? Send us an email at pencilsdown@finalis.com. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Pencils Down on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.